want to be, and I'll tell you some other scriptures that you won't need to turn to, but I'll give you where they come from. But 1 John again, chapter 5, if you want to hold that in readiness, 1 John chapter 5, and let me get the right verse. I think it's verse 14. It'll be verse 14 and 15. So we're going to continue in this series that I started back at the beginning of the year on effective prayer that I didn't realize was going to be this number of sermons, so that's okay, right? I mean, and we're not done. I guess it doesn't matter, right? Because you got me, and this is what we're going to talk about, is effective prayer. It was, I don't know the exact date, but it was, I would say decades ago. It was many years ago. Actually, there was a book by a gentleman named Henry Blackaby. Does that name sound familiar to anybody? Henry Blackaby. But it was entitled Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. And it came out in evangelical circles and that sort of thing. And it's described as it's based on scriptural realities that teach us how to have a true relationship to God. But understand, it said experiencing God, knowing and doing the will of God. It eventually became not just a book, but it became a workbook and a series of studies. And people like me back then and other churches, we picked up on it. You know, we're going to get this workbook and we put it in home Bible studies. You know, everybody was to go through this workbook together, you know, about knowing and doing God's will. So anybody familiar? Nobody here familiar?
Well, Rick and I did. I don't think the church did.
Okay, you were familiar with it.
We did it in Australia, yeah.
Okay. So it was a while back there. And so I remember doing that, and I remember that we had our church do that and that sort of thing. Why would we want people to do this study? Or why would we want to do this study? Understand, experiencing God, knowing and doing the will of God. Why would we want to do that? Why would churches grab hold of that and put it in their home Bible studies and whatever? It's not a difficult answer to the question. It's easy why we would want to do that. Because there's a great interest in knowing the will of God. You know, that's what we want to know. We want to know the will of God. And somehow, Henry Blackaby became sort of the guru that everybody went to because he must have figured it out. That's basically how you thought. Somebody figured this out and made it into a course of study that we all bought. Because we're interested. We want to know this. We want to know that we are aligned correctly. I was thinking, you know, there's elements of our new life in Christ that are challenging to our understanding and our experience. I mean, we're working on a series of sermons, effective prayer, because that's an element of our new life in Christ that we encounter as in challenging. I'm writing a book about heaven. Why? Because it's challenging. Or there's books, obviously. After the book The Great Disappearance came out, there's other books now that are out, all about the end times. They're not hard to find and that sort of thing. You know, we talk about the biblical challenging subjects, the biblical book of Revelation. Well, you talk to most Christians, they just want to steer away from it. You know, why? Because we think and we're told that it's challenging. And it's challenging to our understanding and our experience. And so we avoid it to some degree. Knowing and doing the will of God. Well, it's one of those subjects that's challenging to our Christian understanding and our experience. Maybe it would be at the top of the list of things that are challenging because it gets right down into the nitty-gritty of it touches the way that we think and it touches the way that we live. Knowing and doing the will of God. I'm not sure why that's the case. I'm not sure why it is or what the reasons are that the subject of knowing God's will is so challenging. I'm only going to guess at some reasons. That maybe it's some anxiety among us that are we doing enough? Maybe that's some of the anxiety. Or maybe it's the anxiety about can we know His will? Or do we know His will? Maybe there's some anxiousness over that. Or maybe it is that we wonder if we are fully surrendered to God. And usually that ends up, you know, when I was growing up, I guess I'm still growing up, when I was growing up as a youngster, sort of the challenge was, am I fully surrendered, you know? And what that meant to me was, is it God's will that I go in ministry or that this person go in ministry or whatever, that we sort of equated doing God's will with whether or not you went into something full-time. Or once you got to college and you decided you were going into ministry, you know, it became a different challenge. You know, maybe the great thing is you ought to go to the mission field. I thought I did. I came to New York, you know, the mission field, that sort of thing. And so maybe it is that we think in terms of knowing God's will and the challenge of maybe I'm not fully surrendered because I didn't go into, quote, full-time ministry. Maybe that's the case with some people. We live with desires. I've talked about that. And knowing God's will, it's probably that we wonder if whatever we're thinking about or whatever our desires are, do they fit? Are they a part of God's will for my life? We know what they are. We know what we think. But then we have doubts. I wonder if this is the will of God. And all of that together just makes us a little uneasy. How close am I describing some of what we go through here? You know, I'm just describing what I've gone through. You know, trying to figure out why are we uneasy about the subject of the will of God. Well, we've been listing some elements, and I'm not going to list them today, that are a part of effective prayer, and we have to add the element of the will of God. Have to add it. Why? Because you're in 1 John there, chapter 5, and you're at verse 14, which begins with, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And he goes on, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Well, there's a key element there, right? This is the confidence that we have toward him, and if we ask anything according to his will, well, there it is. There's where we get tripped up right away. If we ask anything that's according to his will, the confidence is that we know that he hears us. Okay. And if we know that he hears us, this is great. If we know that he hears us, we know in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of him. That's pretty amazing. Except we got to get past what? The will of God, which we just said makes us all uneasy. That's what it does. It's funny, you know, we talked about it before that in chapter 3 talks about confidence. If our heart doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God. That was last message. It's funny, in this letter of John, he talks about confidence. The word no is throughout the whole letter of 1 John. But here we have this wonderful thing about prayer, and we get tripped up because it says that little phrase there, the will of God. So what happens to us? Let me see how close I get to this. You see, I'm taking you on a journey with me, whether you like it or not. But how close are we? I mean, we have these desires, we have these requests, we have these petitions that we offer up to God, because these are things that are on our mind and we're presenting them before God, but we're not sure if they fall in line with the will of God. So here's what happens, I think. See how good I am. I gotta make sure I don't miss anything. So let me see if I can describe what happens to us. So we have these matters to discuss, and these could be, well, the requests, petitions, things that we want, desires, whatever, goals, whatever they are, things that we want, and we're a little unsure if they are the will of God. But we throw them out there anyway because, you know, well, take a shot. It's almost like a lottery. You know, we're going to take the shot at it, although I don't know that I've ever spent any money on it. We're going to take a shot. And then when we don't receive what we've requested, we conclude that it wasn't the will of God. We chalk it up as something that's not His will. And this becomes the excuse for not receiving what we've asked. And so we stay in this futile circle. How close am I? All because of this little phrase, the will of God. Wow, we got to get past it, don't we, somehow? Somehow we get stuck, and we know that we're to pray, and so we're not going to stop praying, but pretty soon it just becomes an exercise of, I'm expected to pray, so I'm going to pray, but I'm never really expecting to receive what I've asked for. And we can easily just put it aside saying it wasn't His will. And so we never become like Elijah or Elisha or Abraham or Paul. We just sort of slide along. I don't want to be that way. I don't know about you, but that doesn't excite me at all. And all because of a phrase, the will of God. We have these wonderful promises that all become academic and ineffective, and we just go through the motions of prayer. Because you have desires in your heart, you have petitions that you've worked on, if there are things that you've given some thought to and whatever, and how many of us go to God in prayer and never seem to get what we ask for, and we chalk it up that it's not the will of God. Well, it seems like nothing's His will. Seems like everything we ask for is not His will. I don't find that to be very much fun. So the question is, and we're not going to get done today with this one. I should have said that at the beginning. I'm sorry. We're not going to get done with this one. How do we get out of this experience? How do we get established in the confidence that what we are asking for is not just academic, or that what we are asking for is in accordance with His will? How do we get out of this circle of futility? I ask myself that. And the only thing I can come to for me, and hopefully it's helpful to you, not just this Sunday, but the next time I'm here, is to sort of do what we did with starting this series of effective prayer. We have to start by believing some things that are true. So we said with regard to effective prayer, we said that we have to believe that prayer is a power, that it changes things, and God gives us a ministry of prayer. Why? Because prayer changes things, and we ought to be a part of that. We have to start somewhere. So we started there saying we at least got to believe that. And so I think concerning this subject of the will of God, there's certain things that we got to believe are true. I'll do three here in a moment, and then we'll move on the next sermon with the will of God. Is that okay? I mean, you'll just have to hold on. So number one, and this won't be forever, it won't be long, you know, I won't take 45 minutes, however long that is. First thing that we got to believe is true is that God wants us to know His will. He wants us to know that it is not a mystery in the sense of the word mystery, not the mystery like it's used in the Bible, but it's not a mystery in the sense that it is something that is hidden. That God is saying, well, I just want you to take your whole lifetime trying to find it out. That's not what He wants at all. We said that John uses the word know in here over and over and over. And at the beginning of John, he says that which was from the beginning, which our eyes had seen, which we heard, which we beheld. This life that was at the beginning, this life was manifested to us. We have touched this life. We know something about life. We know. It's not a mystery. It's not hidden. It is what sets God apart from all the other, quote, gods of the peoples that they proclaimed the gospel to. That our God is different. He has revealed Himself. He has made Himself known. He came and dwelt among us because He wants us to know. Brothers and sisters, we know His will in a host of matters of life. We know His will. We know His will about marriage, about raising children, about jobs, about money, about success, about fruitfulness, about agriculture, about science, about, you just go on with the list. There is nothing that the Bible doesn't talk about when it's in regard to life. We know a host of things about life. They're not secret. The psalmist says, you have made known to me the path of life. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. John said in his gospel, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The psalmist said, with you is a fountain of life. We are in the know about matters of life. On any subject that you want to bring up, we know something about it. I don't know what trips us up there. I guess what trips us up, is this the woman for me or is this one? I don't know. But God gives you some way of measuring that. There's some sense that comes with that. You know, Bonnie's parents were, They did a segment, some radio, or not, TV news station, found out about Julie's book, Asbury Lane. They did a, they were on there for a half hour. Did you see it? It was crazy, wasn't it? Just an amazing thing. Do you think these two people figured out life together? Was it that they questioned whether they were to be? I mean, they did what all of us do. They found each other, and he asked the question, they marry, and they build a life under the banner of God and committed to one another and make it great. That's not hard to figure out. You know, I have a lot of things this year. I had told you last year that I have a lot of things hanging out there. I don't know where they're going to go, but I at least put things out to see where they go. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to put a book out, hopefully, by the end of June. We'll see where it goes. I don't know. I just know I'm supposed to write it. Does that mean it's easy? No. I say, Lord, what do you have me doing this for? This is hard. You know, have Janelle editing it, and when she gets done, I'm rewriting the whole chapter. It's just crazy. You know, mistakes all over the place, and I got a C in English in college, so that's a problem, and whatever, but, you know, you got to do it anyhow. My first point is that God wants us to know, so he's not prohibiting us knowing his will at all. Number two, God is responsive to those who are wanting to know his will. You know, John records an incident where Jesus goes into Jerusalem. It was one of the feasts, you know, in Jerusalem. He records it in John chapter 7, and he goes into the temple area, and he's teaching. And some of these people, you know, they're hearing his teaching, and of course the authorities say, where did this guy learn this stuff, you know, that he's talking about? In this sort of thing, and they questioned him on it, and he says that, you know, what he's teaching isn't his, but his father's, and he says, if anyone is willing to do his will, he will know whether this teaching is from God or whether I'm just talking on my own authority. But it's that little statement, anyone who is willing to do his will. Is there anybody in this room that's not willing to do his will? God is responsive to people that are willing, who want it, who want to learn. Do not be conformed to this world. This is Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may know what is the will of God, that which is good and perfect and acceptable. It's not hard. Anybody willing to follow a path of learning and growing, of laying aside the nonsense that we're taught in this world and pick up his word and just accept and trust, you know, we'll start learning and speaking like Jesus, and that'll stand apart from all the rest of whatever people are talking about. It will just naturally stand apart, and God is responsive to people that are willing to do his will. We know he will do that. So we know that he wants us to know, and we know that he's responsive to people that are willing, and this one I really like. That God is at work, number three, to make his will clear in our life. God is at work. In Philippians chapter 2, you'll want to go to this yourself, 2, 12, and 13. Philippians chapter 2, 12, and 13. You know, Paul is saying to them, you know, you've obeyed me while I was present, but even more so when I'm not present. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For God is at work in you, and when you see it there, God is at work in you to will and to work what is pleasing and his sight. It's not only that God wants you to know his will. It's not only that he's responsive. It is that he's working. He's prompting us toward his will, and he's working it out in us so that we are doing what is pleasing to him. He's at work with this. At the end of Hebrews, I better give this to you, chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now that may the God of peace, who brought back again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I mean, we could preach a whole sermon just right there. But he left them with the benediction, may equip you with everything good so that you're doing his will and he's working in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, which we'll get to that part in another part of this message. But we've said this over and over, at least you've heard me say it, I'm hot on it all the time, that through Jesus Christ, he has deposited his Holy Spirit in us. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me. How in the world can we lack confidence that we're right in line with him? Because he's working in us. He's speaking to us. Go back to my book. I'm telling you, it's a good book. So there's more to discuss on this topic. But this last point, you know, the practicality. You see, we pick up things like Blackaby stuff. I did it. Hey, we're going to distribute it to the church. We're going to use it in our, you know, home Bible studies and whatever. This is what we're going to do because we want to be sharp. Blackaby knows, you know, how we can know the will of God. That's what we all believed. I'm not saying he's a bad thing. I'm just saying it became a study. And you're looking to check off that you're doing everything according to what he laid out here in whatever, seven lessons, eight lessons, I can't remember. Because I didn't keep it. I don't know. You can't find it in my library anymore. But we're always looking for that blueprint, that step-by-step thing that we can check off that convinces us or gives us the confidence. Sort of what a lot of Christians do about their relationship to Christ. And ultimately, that becomes very academic. What I've just described, I don't know how to describe the practicality of it. It becomes the issue that I wrote about in my book about being led by the Spirit or walking by the Spirit. And in that area where I talked about in that book, there was the question, how do you walk by the Spirit? And I say in the book, that question was never asked. You never find that question asked by Christians. How do I walk in the Spirit? Or am I led by the Spirit? It's never there. They didn't have a lesson book to check off how they walked in the Spirit, how it is the Spirit leads them. I mean, to be led by the Spirit is simply to be under the influence of some outside authority. In this case, it's Jesus. So it's not a question that was asked. What we really need to do, very simply, is place ourselves in a daily way, in a moment-by-moment way, under the influence of our Lord Jesus, who can speak to us moment by moment, whether you're driving in the car, listening to a song, whatever the case may be, it is just being aware of that dynamic. It is abiding in him that we've talked about. It is an awareness of his presence. It is a dynamic relationship to him that you don't start at 10:30 on a Sunday morning and shut off at noon. You understand? I'm just choosing. That's not what it is. It is while you're driving 4 hours to East Northport and having a dynamic relationship to him. It is being aware. I'm telling you, go back to my book. It is being aware, the second half of that book, of thoughts and promptings. And that tool that I gave you before is not the checkoff box. It is just a place for you, if you use it, to record a thought or prompting that you got without discerning what it was about. It's just to put it there so you don't forget it. Because it may be something God's saying to you. It is about journaling, a whole chapter in the book about that. It is about meditation. You know, it's not meditation as a checkoff. It is something that you desire. Somebody that meditates upon his word, you know, day and night, and you think about it. And you think about it because I added the new chapter in that book because you memorized it. I memorized scripture. I didn't read the scripture to you today, did I? No, I have it. They're important to me. They're living in here. They can speak to me because they're in here. I didn't say it's easy work. I'm just saying that's you want to live from the inside out. You know, I have in there, creation speaks. That's the hardest for me. You know, I look at birds and bugs and dogs and whatever, and I think, how does this work? How do these dogs know anything? You know, how do these birds, you know, fly all over the place and end up back wherever? I don't know. It's pretty interesting to me. And I think, God, you're pretty awesome, you know, to make stuff like this. It's, unfortunately, it's listening to the news and discerning the nonsense that's on there. Or something good, like Bonnie's parents being on there. And that's good stuff. Very encouraging. It's about observing life. It's about observing people. It's about prayer. It is just having something where you can put this stuff down and see, God, how are you speaking to me? It's a dynamic relationship. That's as practical as I can become. And through all of that, you're placing yourself at the disposal of God for him to work in us. And if you're laying out your petitions and your requests and your desires of your heart and whatever, he'll help you sort through that. He'll make it clear in time, because the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, and it shines brighter and brighter. You just got to be aware. We'll pick up with that. There's more on the will of God, but please understand, he's not holding back and hiding his will. He's responsive to our desire to know it, to be willing to follow him, and he's actually working in us so that we'll do it. He's actually working in us. May the Lord bless your hearts and minds.